This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to talk to someone about their toxic traits without making things worse. A direct, step-by-step method for having the conversation that actually changes things. In short, after reading this, you will know how to raise someone's toxic traits directly, clearly, and in a way that gives the conversation a real chance of producing change. Name the specific behaviour, not the person's character. Prepare your approach before you speak, not during. Expect resistance and know exactly how to respond to it. Definition: a toxic trait conversation is a direct, intentional discussion about someone's harmful behavioural patterns and the impact those patterns have on others. It requires naming what you have observed, describing the damage it causes, and giving the person a clear opportunity to respond and change. You have been watching someone's behaviour damage your team, your relationship, or your workplace for months. You finally decide to say something. The conversation goes badly. They get defensive, turn it back on you, or shut down entirely. You walk away feeling worse than before, and nothing changes. That is not a failure of courage. That is a failure of preparation. Raising someone's toxic traits is one of the hardest things you can do in any relationship. It is hard because these conversations carry real risk, the risk of denial, of retaliation, of the relationship fracturing. Most people avoid them until they cannot anymore, and by then they go in too hot, too vague, or too loaded with months of frustration. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for having a toxic traits conversation that gives both you and the other person the best possible chance of an honest outcome. If you want to understand what makes certain behaviours truly damaging before you begin, take the time to read around the subject first. Why talking about toxic traits is harder than it looks. Knowing something needs to be said and being able to say it well are two very different things. Most people understand, somewhere inside them, that certain behaviours cannot be left unchallenged. But understanding that and actually doing it cleanly are miles apart. Here is what makes this particular conversation so difficult. The person rarely sees themselves clearly. Toxic behavioural patterns almost always come with a blind spot. The person who dominates every conversation genuinely believes they are being helpful. The one who shifts blame has convinced themselves they are just being accurate. You are not just raising a concern. You are challenging someone's self-image. The stakes feel enormous. Naming a harmful pattern in someone you work with or care about feels like dropping a grenade. You do not know what they will do with it. Many people stay silent for years simply because they cannot calculate the risk. Vague feedback produces nothing. Saying you can be quite negative sometimes is not a toxic traits conversation. It is a hint. Hints do not change behaviour. Getting specific enough to be useful feels brutal, and most people pull back from that edge. You are carrying accumulated frustration. By the time most people say something, they have been storing it for weeks or months. That weight makes it nearly impossible to stay measured when the moment finally comes. The fear of being wrong stops people cold. What if you have misread the situation? What if others do not see it the way you do? Self-doubt at the wrong moment turns a necessary conversation into an apologetic mumble. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your intent must be honest. Ask yourself plainly, do you want this person to change, or do you want to punish them? Both can feel righteous in the moment, but only one leads to a useful conversation. If your intent is genuine, that will come through. If it is not, it will also come through, and the conversation will collapse before it starts. Number two, you need specific, documented examples. You cannot raise toxic traits on the basis of a general feeling. You need to be able to say what happened, when it happened, and what the impact was. Concrete examples are not optional. They are the entire load-bearing structure of this conversation. Without them, the person can dismiss what you are saying, and honestly, they would be right to. Number three, your timing must be deliberate. This conversation cannot happen in the heat of the moment, in a public setting, or when either of you is already under pressure. It needs a private space, a calm start, and enough time to run its course without interruption. Choosing the wrong moment is one of the most common reasons these conversations fail. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Define the pattern before you speak. This step is about the preparation you do alone, before any conversation begins, and it is the step that determines everything else. You need to be able to name the toxic trait specifically not as a character verdict, but as a pattern of observable behavior. There is a significant difference between your manipulative, and in three separate team meetings this month, you presented your idea as the group's consensus before we had agreed on anything. The second one is something a person can actually hear, examine, and respond to. Write it down before you speak. Get it clear on paper. Ask yourself, what exactly does this person do? When do they do it? And what is the consistent impact on others around them? Write a one-sentence description of the specific behavior pattern you have observed. List at least two concrete examples with dates or contexts you can reference if needed. Write down the impact, what happens to the team, the relationship, or the work as a result. Test your description by asking whether a neutral third party, shown your notes, would understand exactly what you mean. Strip out any language that attacks character. Replace it with language that describes action and effect. Here is what that preparation might look like in practice. You have a colleague who consistently takes credit for others' contributions in front of leadership. Your prepared description might read, in the last month, on three occasions, you presented work in senior meetings without naming the people who produced it. Each time, those people found out later and felt invisible. That is specific, observable, and fair. It gives the person something real to respond to. Once you have this level of clarity, you are ready to have the conversation. Step 2. Choose your setting with care. Where and when you have this conversation is not a minor logistical detail. It shapes the entire dynamic. A public setting, even a semi-public one like a shared office, makes the person feel exposed. When people feel exposed, they perform rather than listen. They defend their reputation in front of others rather than genuinely engaging with what you are saying. Privacy is not a courtesy here. It is a structural requirement for the conversation to work. Timing matters just as much. Ambushing someone at the end of a stressful day or right after a moment of conflict floods the conversation with existing emotion before it even begins. Choose a private space where neither of you can be overheard or interrupted. Schedule the conversation rather than initiating it without warning. A brief message saying, I would like to find some time to talk about something important, is enough. Allow at least 45 minutes. Conversations like this need room to breathe. Avoid scheduling it immediately before a high-pressure event for either of you. If the relationship is already strained, consider a neutral location rather than your office or theirs. When the person arrives, they will already sense that something serious is coming. That is fine. What you are managing in this step is the difference between someone arriving guarded and someone arriving cornered. Guarded is workable. Cornered is not. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Open with intent, not accusation. How you open this conversation sets its entire trajectory, so your first sentence deserves as much thought as anything that follows. Most people open these conversations in one of two wrong ways. They soften it so much that the other person does not understand what is happening, or they lead with such force that the other person immediately locks down. Neither works. What you need instead is an opening that is honest about your purpose, warm about your intent, and clear that this is a serious conversation. State plainly that you want to talk about something that has been concerning you. Do not bury it in small talk. Do not open with a compliment followed by but. Just be direct about what you are here to do and why. Begin with a plain statement of intent. I want to talk to you about something I have observed, and I want to do it honestly. Name that your goal is for things to improve, not to attack. I'm raising this because I want us to be able to work together well, and right now something is getting in the way of that. Do not apologize for having the conversation. Apologizing signals that you believe you should not be there. Give them a moment to settle before you move into the substance. If they immediately try to redirect, say, I want to make sure we get to this first, because it matters. Here is what a strong opening sounds like. I want to be straight with you about something I have noticed over the past few weeks. This is not easy for me to raise, but I think it matters enough that I need to. That is it. No accusations yet. No character verdicts. Just a calm, clear signal that something real is about to be said. From there, you move into the specifics you prepared in step 1. When you open this way, you also keep the conversation connected to your relationship with this person. If you are addressing passive-aggressive patterns alongside more overt toxic traits, the guidance in how to address passive-aggressive behavior that's silently eroding team synergy will help you handle both threads without letting either one derail the other. Step 4. Name the behavior with precision. This is the core of the conversation. You have opened clearly. Now you describe exactly what you have observed, using the examples you prepared. The discipline here is staying on behavior and impact, never sliding into character judgment. You are dismissive closes a door. In our last 3 team meetings, when other people made suggestions, you talked over them or changed the subject without acknowledging what they said, and I watched them stop contributing opens 1. Use the SBI framework if it helps. Situation, behavior, impact. Describe the situation, name the specific behavior you observed, and explain the impact it had. The how to use the SBI method to give feedback that actually changes behavior article breaks this method down in full. If you want to apply it rigorously here, state the specific situation or context first when and where this happened. Name the exact behavior without editorializing what you saw or heard, not what you concluded about it. Describe the impact on you, the team, or the relationship clearly and directly. Use the word I noticed or I observed rather than you always or you never. Give only 1 or 2 examples in the initial statement. Do not present a case file. You are opening a conversation, not building a prosecution. After you have named the behavior and its impact, stop talking. Resist the urge to fill the silence that follows. Let them respond. What they say next will tell you a great deal about how the conversation will need to proceed. For more on how to keep feedback from destabilizing a working relationship, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension is worth reading alongside this step. Step 5. Handle the defensive response without losing ground. Expect pushback. It will come. The form varies: denial, counter-accusation, minimizing, sudden bewilderment, or a tearful pivot to their own difficulties. These are not signs that the conversation is failing. They are signs that you have said something that landed. Your job here is to hold your ground without escalating. You do not need to win every exchange. You need to stay calm, stay specific, and keep returning to the behavior and its impact. If they deny it, you can say, I understand you see it differently. I can only speak to what I observed and the effect it had. If they counterattack, you can acknowledge their concern without abandoning yours. I hear that you have concerns about me too, and I'm willing to talk about that. Right now I want to finish what I came here to say. If they collapse into distress, give them a moment, stay present, and then gently return. When they deny, do not argue. Restate what you observed, calmly, once. When they deflect to your faults, acknowledge it briefly and return to the subject. That is worth discussing. Can we finish this first? When they claim they meant no harm, validate the intent and hold the impact. I believe you did not intend it that way. The impact was still real. Do not raise additional examples mid-offense. Hold your prepared ones steady. If the conversation becomes circular, name it. We keep coming back to the same point. I think we need to sit with it rather than talk past each other. Here is how that sounds in practice. They say, I cannot believe you're bringing this up. I work harder than anyone on this team. You respond, I know you work hard, and I respect that. What I am talking about is something different. When he took credit for the proposal in front of the director last Tuesday without mentioning the 3 people who built it, it damaged their trust. That is what I need us to address. If you're working through a team situation where toxic behavior has fractured more than one relationship, the guidance in how to mediate between 2 team members to preserve group synergy will help you manage the wider fallout alongside this direct conversation. Step 6. Ask what they will do differently. Once the behavior has been named and the initial reaction has settled, the conversation needs to move from description to direction. This step is where many people stop too soon. Naming the problem is necessary, but not sufficient. You need to ask the person directly what they intend to do about it. This is not an ultimatum. It is an invitation to take ownership. It signals that you expect a response, not just a reaction, and it gives them a concrete way forward. Ask directly, what do you think you can do differently going forward? If they are not ready to answer immediately, give them time. But do not drop the question. Offer 1 specific change you would like to see. If they struggle to generate 1, it would help if, in team meetings, you checked with the group before presenting a position as agreed. Agree on how you will know things are changing, a timeline, a follow-up conversation, or a specific observable behavior to look for, write down what was agreed briefly and confirm it with them before you leave. This step is where the conversation earns its purpose. Without a clear commitment to something specific, the conversation becomes a venting exercise. With it, there is at least the possibility of real change. Step 7. Follow up and hold the line. A single conversation rarely produces lasting change. The follow-up is what determines whether anything you said actually takes root. Give it time before you follow up a week or two, depending on the nature of the behavior. Then check in, not with punishment or surveillance, but with genuine acknowledgement of what has or has not shifted. Note whether the specific behavior has changed. Be honest with yourself about what you are observing. If things have improved, say so directly. Acknowledgement of progress matters, and it builds on the change you are trying to create. If nothing has changed, return to the conversation. I wanted to check in on what we talked about. I have not noticed any difference yet, and I want to understand why. If the behavior has worsened or the person has become hostile, that is important information. It tells you that the relationship or the role needs to be reconsidered at a higher level. Do not let a failed first attempt convince you the conversation was wrong. Some seeds take longer to grow. This much I know for certain: the follow-up is where most people give up. They have one difficult conversation, feel the relief of having said the thing, and then quietly go back to tolerating what they said they would not. That relief fades quickly. The behavior does not. For handling situations where the toxic behavior is surfacing at a team level rather than just in a one-to-one dynamic, how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team synergy, and how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it, both give you tools for widening the conversation when one-to-one is no longer enough. Adapting this process for high-conflict relationships. When the relationship itself is already fractured, or when the person you need to address has a history of retaliating against criticism, this process requires some careful adjustment. Reduce the setting's intimacy. In a high-conflict dynamic, a private one-to-one meeting with no witness can actually increase risk. Consider whether having a neutral third party present, such as a trusted colleague or a manager, is appropriate. Their role is not to adjudicate, but to ensure the conversation stays grounded. Shorten your opening. In high-conflict relationships, lengthy preamble reads as weakness and invites interruption. Be even more direct than the standard process calls for. One clear sentence about your purpose, then the specific behavior. Less runway means less opportunity for the conversation to be hijacked before it starts. Document the conversation. If there is any chance of later dispute about what was said, send a brief follow-up message after the meeting. Following our conversation today, I wanted to note what we discussed and what we agreed. This is not adversarial. It is practical. If you need support from scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy, those scripts can help you find language for exactly this kind of written follow-up. Set a clearer consequence. In standard situations, leaving the consequence implicit is often appropriate. In high-conflict situations, it is not. Be specific about what will happen if the behavior does not change, and mean it. The core process holds regardless of how difficult the person is. What changes is the degree of preparation, the precision of your language, and the clarity of your boundaries. Common mistakes to avoid when raising toxic traits. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: waiting too long, then saying too much at once. Why it happens: avoidance builds up, and when you finally speak, you unload months of accumulated grievances in one conversation. What to do instead? Raise one specific pattern per conversation. Save other concerns for separate conversations once the first one has landed. The mistake: using character labels instead of behavior descriptions. Why it happens: when we are frustrated, we reach for the verdict first. You are selfish. You are toxic. What to do instead? Describe the specific action and its impact. Character labels produce defensiveness every single time. Behavior descriptions produce reflection, at least sometimes. The mistake: backing down when they get upset. Why it happens: most people confuse the other person's distress with proof that they were wrong to raise the issue. What to do instead? Acknowledge the reaction without abandoning your position. Distress is a response to the conversation, not evidence that the conversation should not be happening. The mistake: raising toxic traits publicly or in front of others. Why it happens: sometimes the moment arises in a meeting or a group setting, and it feels like the right time. What to do instead? Never address a serious behavioral pattern in front of an audience. Private conversations produce reflection. Public ones produce performance. The mistake: expecting change after a single conversation. Why it happens: we put so much into preparing and delivering the conversation that we expect it to work immediately. What to do instead? Plan for follow-up from the start. One conversation plants a seed. The follow-up is what determines whether it grows. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have identified the specific behaviour pattern, not a general feeling or character verdict. I have at least two concrete examples I can reference, with dates or contexts. I have written down the impact of this behaviour on others or on the work. I have chosen a private setting with enough time for the conversation to run fully. I have scheduled the conversation rather than ambushing the person. I have prepared my opening sentence and can deliver it without hedging. I know what I will say if they get defensive, deny, or counterattack. I have a specific change I will ask them to commit to. I have planned a follow-up check-in within 2 weeks. I have removed all character labels from my prepared language and replaced them with behavior descriptions. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a method for raising someone's toxic traits that is specific, structured, and grounded in decades of hard-won experience. You can go into this conversation with confidence rather than dread, because you know what you are doing and why. Define the pattern precisely before you speak behavior and impact, not character verdict. Prepare specific examples. 2 or 3 is enough. More than that becomes an assault. Open with honest intent, not apology and not accusation. Name the behavior clearly, then stop talking and let them respond. Hold your ground through defensiveness without matching their heat. Ask directly what they will do differently and agree on something specific. Follow up, because the conversation alone rarely produces lasting change. Your next step is simple. Take the checklist above and work through it for the specific person and situation you're facing. If you need to sharpen your feedback delivery skills alongside this process, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is a strong companion piece. If the toxic traits are surfacing across a wider team dynamic rather than in a single individual, start with how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy to understand the broader picture first. A toxic traits conversation done well is one of the most respectful things you can offer another person: the truth, delivered clearly, with room for them to grow. Frequently asked questions. What is a toxic traits conversation and why is it so hard? A toxic traits conversation is a direct discussion about someone's harmful behavioural patterns and the damage those patterns cause. It is hard because the person being confronted rarely sees themselves clearly, and most people fear that naming the problem will destroy the relationship entirely. How do you start a conversation about someone's toxic traits without causing a blow-up? Start with a specific behaviour, not a character label. Instead of saying someone is manipulative, describe the exact thing they did and the impact it had. Prepare your opening sentence in advance, choose a calm private setting, and state your intention to help, not to attack. How do you talk to someone about toxic traits when they always get defensive? Expect defensiveness and do not treat it as a sign of failure. Name it calmly when it appears. Say you notice this feels difficult and you want to keep talking. Stick to concrete examples, avoid sweeping statements, and give them time to process before expecting a response. What should you never say when addressing someone's toxic traits? Never say always or never. Never attack character instead of behaviour. And never deliver this feedback publicly. Avoid accusations that group multiple grievances together in one conversation. One specific pattern per conversation gives the person a fair chance to hear you and respond without shutting down. Can a person actually change their toxic traits after a conversation? Yes, but rarely after a single conversation. Change requires the person to first acknowledge the pattern, which is why how you raise it matters so much. A well-handled conversation creates the conditions for change. It does not guarantee it, but it makes it possible. How do you know if a toxic traits conversation has worked? The first sign is not a change in behaviour. It is a shift in acknowledgement. The person stops deflecting and starts listening. Sustained behavioural change over weeks is the real measure. If nothing changes after repeated honest conversations, that is important information too. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.